The Locked On Giants podcast is brought to you in part by BlueChew.com. Visit BlueChew.com for more information and to take advantage of their special offer for Locked On Giants listeners. Enter the promo code Locked On at checkout to get your first shipment for only $5 shipping and handling. That's BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
One. Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name's Patricia Traina, and I cover your New York Giants for a variety of places. Follow me on Twitter at Patricia_Traina. You can see links to articles I have coming up on Forbes. You can check out The Maven, where we are counting down to the start of Giants training camp. We're featuring a different, actually two Giant players per day. We're going alphabetically down the list, and we're kind of telling you a little bit about each guy who's on the roster, his chances of sticking around, his background, so on and so forth. They each have a little video, so do check that out at The Maven. It's footballmaven.io/NYGiants. And on today's Locked On Giants podcast, we are continuing to preview the Giants 2019 opponents. And today we're going to head down to South Florida for a look at the Miami Dolphins. And here to talk about the Miami Dolphins is the Locked On Dolphins host, Travis Wingfield. Travis, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure, Travis. So, Travis, a lot of changes for the Miami Dolphins in the offseason, starting with the coaching staff. What have you learned so far about this coaching staff and the direction that they want to take this team?
Yeah, it's been quite an overhaul so far, Patricia, and they've really gone after the Patriots model, which, as we have seen in the past, has not really worked out for anybody else. But the big change is they were able to take away four Patriots staffers in addition to Brian Flores. A quarterback's coach, a defensive coordinator, and a cornerback's coach are all there now. So they've pretty much taken on this, you know, New England type of philosophy, trying to do the Bill Belichick things under Brian Flores. So there's going to be major schematic changes on the defensive side of the football, as well as on the offensive side with offensive coordinator Chad O'Shea, and bringing a lot of changes both schematically, personality-wise. I think they went from Adam Gase, who was a player's coach, to more of a disciplinarian in Brian Flores, and a guy that's more of a leader than anything else, opposed to being an offensive whiz, a defensive whiz. They wanted a guy who was a leader, and that's what they got in Brian Flores.
What about the scheme changes? Now, obviously, the Giants see the Dolphins once every 4 years, but it's been a while. Can you just refresh our memories as to what they ran previously and what they're looking to run on both sides of the ball?
Yeah, so offensively under Adam Gase, they ran mainly 11 personnel sets with three receivers, a back, and a tight end. And on offense, the Patriots last year ran plenty of 21 personnel with two running backs, one tight end, two receivers. And I think we'll see some of that. The Dolphins drafted a fullback onto the roster for the first time since 2011, I believe it was. And now they'll go to more 12 personnel and also, or 21 personnel, but also 12 personnel with two tight ends now that Dwayne Allen, another former Patriot, comes over to join up with Mike Gesicki, who was supposed to be kind of an Aaron Hernandez type of player on the football field, at least. On the defensive side, it was pretty antiquated, the things the Dolphins did last year under Matt Burke for the previous two seasons, ranking almost dead last across the board in many major statistical categories on the defensive side, and they would refuse to get into dime packages, and that's the biggest difference I think we'll see this year. A bigger influx of defensive backs onto the field in lieu of linebackers, because Matt Burke loved his linebackers and the Patriots scheme under Brian Flores loves its defensive backs.
Now let's look at the personnel on the offensive side of the ball. And they traded away Ryan Tannehill in the offseason. And just what is it they're doing at quarterback? I know there's some thoughts that they're trying to tank for Tua or another quarterback that's going to be out next year's draft. What are they trying to do there?
Well, I think they're definitely putting themselves in a position to attack the quarterback class next year. They now have 12 draft picks, and many of those repeat draft picks come in second, third, fourth, fifth round, and so on. So they are loaded with a war chest of draft picks to move up just in case it is Tua Tagovailoa or Jake Fromm or Jordan Love or Justin Herbert, whoever it might be. I think they'll be in a position to go out and get the guy they so choose. Now, they did give themselves a crack at the apple this year by trading for Josh Rosen, and we'll see if he wins the opening day job. I don't think that's ultimately important because whether or not he starts 16 games or 12 games, you're probably going to have a pretty good idea on what your evaluation of Josh Rosen is. And even then, if he doesn't work out this year right away, he's under contract very cheaply for the next 2 years because the Arizona Cardinals paid half of his salary off that rookie signing bonus. So he's here in Miami probably for the foreseeable future as the starter, as the backup. We'll find out by the way he plays this season.
And he, of course, is joining Ryan Fitzpatrick, who was, I believe, signed this year. But just sticking on Josh Rosen for a minute, you know, there were some different reports, you know, in his first year in Arizona about his study habits, his devotion, his this, his that. How has he taken to life in Miami?
It seems like a lot of the reporters around here have kind of refuted the idea that he's not a likable guy. Now, there is the idea that maybe he comes off a bit brash and arrogant when you look at his upbringing, but there was a great piece on the Miami Herald written by Adam Beasley, and he went down to Southern California and met with people in Josh Rosen's life, and you learn that he came up in a very, very cush type of atmosphere in a wealthy, high-income neighborhood, and he was a tennis prodigy back in his youth, and he just kind of had everything easy because he was always good at stuff. Now, he comes to Miami very humbled because, one, he never really was the savior of UCLA football the way he was supposed to be, and you can blame that on him or otherwise, probably more likely to do it otherwise. Then he goes to Arizona, and the circumstances are pretty terrible for him, an awful offensive line that kept getting injuries. The receiving core dropped a lot of footballs for him. He had his own warts he has to work out as well, but I think he's been humbled, and I think that the way that his teammates have talked about him, both here in Miami and previously with Arizona, it seems like some of that stuff was kind of more rumor than truth.
Now let's look at some of those skill position players that he has. Now last year you guys traded away Jarvis Landry, who, you know, he was your, I guess, your number one receiver. They traded him in March of last year. Devontae Parker, I believe you have Kenny Stills, Bryce Butler. I'm sure I'm missing a couple guys, but looking at those receivers and the tight ends, I think, like you said, Mike Gesicki was one, and Dwayne Allen, I think, is another guy you picked up. How do you feel about those that skill set there at the tight ends and the receivers?
I think it's pretty fairly balanced and good on the surface, but what they're really lacking is that number one guy that can go out and beat double coverage or consistently win on third downs or be matchup proof across whatever kind of cornerback or coverage you want to throw at him. They don't have that guy that's going to uncover more often than not. You mentioned Kenny Stills. He's the deep threat, but he also probably is the most veteran, polished route runner, the most nuanced route runner of the entire group. They had Albert Wilson, who was in the midst of a breakout season last year before he had a hip injury that took out the rest of his season. Jakeem Grant was flashing big playability both as a punt returner and down the field as a vertical attack, but he too got hurt midseason. You mentioned Devontae Parker. He's been kind of the teaser of the Dolphins fan base for the last 4 years, a first-round draft pick who has flashed high-end potential. It just hasn't worked out for him. At tight end, you mentioned Mike Gesicki, but he's a lot more potential than production right now. And in the backfield with Kenyon Drake and Kalen Ballage, a second-year running back out of Arizona State, Kenyon Drake's going to be the starter, and we're looking to see if he can get the full-time workload for the first time in his career, because you go back to Alabama in college, he wasn't that in Alabama, and he hasn't been that in Miami, but he's the guy I think you look for to make the biggest boom on the Dolphins offense this season.
Is there a guy amongst the Dolphins skill players that you could honestly say scares a defensive coordinator?
I wouldn't say there's anyone specifically that they plan for in that regard. I think the speed can always scare you, and they do have three guys that run sub 4.440s in Stills, Wilson, and Grant. But from a matchup standpoint and trying to make sure those guys don't beat you, I would say no, they don't.
All right, now let's look at the offensive line, because obviously it all starts up front. Now, I believe you guys acquired Jordan Mills this year, I'm trying to think, was Kilgore acquired this year or last year? I can't remember which, but just talk about that offensive line, you know, how do you feel about that? Because that is such an important group. Is it a stable unit, or are there some question marks there?
it's definitely a work in progress. They have a left tackle who Dolphins fans believe is the best in the game, and he probably is top three at worst. Laremy Tunsil gave up one sack all season last year, and he just has elite movement skills and measurables, and the production's there too. But the rest of the offensive line, the other four positions, the mainstay of this group is the durability. They brought in guys who have record-breaking career number of starts in college, and Michael Dieter at Wisconsin, Isaiah Prince at Ohio State. You've got guys like Jesse Davis. He's going to play on the outside probably this year at right tackle. He started all 16 games last year for the Dolphins, the only offensive lineman to do that. You mentioned Dan Kilgore. He played three games and got hurt last season, and he wasn't very good in those three games, so we'll see about him. But the group in general, the key is the cross-training ability to play multiple positions and the durability, hoping to finally get some continuity, because this offensive line, as your Giants fans I'm sure can attest to, the lack of continuity has been a huge problem on the offense and offensive line for a while now, and that's something Miami's trying to get ironed out this year.
Now, you can't solve all problems in an offseason, but on the offense, what would you like to see management really, you know, address before the end of training camp?
Probably just identifying those five offensive line starters, because right now it could be any combination of guys beyond Laremy Tunsil, who's the one guy that basically has his name written down in pen as a starter. So just trying to develop continuity. And I like the idea to cross-train offensive linemen and get them playing tackle and guard in multiple positions, but I also want to see them get consistency and develop that continuity up front.
And what are some realistic expectations you think Dolphin fans can hope for from this unit?
I don't think very highly. I mean, it's been a long time since the Dolphins have had a good offense in general, but I don't think this is the year that it happens. I think it's going to be a bit of a learning curve, instituting these new kind of site adjustment type of route concepts and principles from the offense that they want to bring over from Chad O'Shea in New England. So probably in the bottom third of the NFL, and at best case scenario, maybe Josh Rosen comes in off the bench and gets them up to the 20th rank or so, but probably not any better than that.
You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina and special guest Travis Wingfield. He's the host of Locked On Dolphins. We're breaking down the Miami Dolphins. Giant fans, we're going to take a quick break, come back, and talk Dolphins defense, so do stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. Patricia Traina here, your host, and we are previewing the Giants 2019 opponents, and hopefully you've been enjoying the different previews. They are coming courtesy of the Locked On podcast hosts, who know their team as well as anybody out there, really doing a fantastic job. And the latest gentleman to be doing a fantastic job breaking down his team for us is Travis Wingfield. He is the host of Locked On Dolphins, and we just completed a look at the Dolphins offense. Travis, let's turn our attention now to the defense, and, you know, just give us an overview of that unit as a whole, you know, taking us from the interior out to the secondary, you know, what personnel they have, where the concerns are, who the new faces are, and so forth.
Yeah, the interesting part of the defense, Patricia, is that they really didn't change a whole lot from a personnel standpoint, but there are going to be sweeping changes from a schematic standpoint, like we touched on in that first segment. Now, on the defensive line, there's going to be any variety of defensive linemen down with their hands in the dirt on any given play, and the same goes for linebackers. This defense under the Patriots in the past, if you assume that it's maybe going to be at least take some major principles from the Patriots defense with Bill Belichick as Brian Flores comes over from New England, you would think there's going to be a lot of defensive back kind of emphasis in driving this defense, whether you're in three safety packages a lot of the time, dime packages with six defensive backs. And the pass rush, there really isn't the individual guy to go out there and win the one-on-one matchups or beat double teams. They're going to find a way to get pressure on the quarterback through the scheme and through blitzes, and Brian Flores swears by that mantra.
And what about, you know, like if it's the same defense, as you mentioned, pretty much the same personnel, if they're changing the schemes, I mean, are these guys a fit? Or, I mean, is there concern that maybe it's going to take a while for them to get the pieces they need?
It's a great question, because I think this year is going to be kind of one of those, like an extended preseason to an extent. You talked about the tank for Tua idea. I don't know that maybe, I mean, putting your hopes on finishing dead last is never a good idea, in my opinion, but I think that they have realistic expectations for where this team is and kind of what was left behind from the Mike Tannenbaum era, as they kind of had to do some patchwork on this roster and make up for some of the expensive contracts for guys that weren't producing all that highly under the previous regime. So now they're going to have a bunch of guys. They have to figure out what do they do best. We talked about on my podcast that they wanted Raekwon McMillan, the middle linebacker, to study Dante Hightower film, but he's a guy that plays inside linebacker and goes on the outside and rushes off the edge as a pass rusher at times, and I don't know if that guy is McMillan. Jerome Baker, another linebacker, also from Ohio State, a young kid, a second-year pro this year, he's kind of in that same vein. Can he play outside? Can he play inside? Is he a pass rusher? Is he a linebacker? What exactly does he do? So I think the entire season is going to be based upon kind of trying to figure out who does what and which roles can we institute from that previous defense and where do we have to go next season.
You've been saying that, you know, they want to take from the Patriots model. And as you pointed out, other teams have tried it and it hasn't worked. What makes, you know, based on what you know, Travis, what makes them think that it's going to work here?
I would say the fact that they were able to pull the other four coaches with them, because, you know, you look at, I actually wrote an article about this a few months ago, how Belichick never lost more than one or two assistants, or at least to a new team, to a guy that got a head coaching job, whether it was Charlie Weish or Matt Patricia or Josh McDaniels, whoever it might have been. They never stole another assistant coach from Belichick's wing, but now they got the quarterbacks coach, the offensive coordinator, I think I mentioned the cornerbacks coach on the other side. So there are plenty of coaches coming from the New England scheme, or the New England tree, I should say. And that's why I think the hope is that they can institute that as well. But Flores has mentioned that it's not going to be a carbon copy. They're not going to just pick up the exact same ideas and bring them over. It's going to take a lot of different things from different coaches that they have on staff and be a bit of a collaboration of sorts.
What about the depth? Because, you know, when we talk about a defense, obviously you're rotating guys in and out on the line. You're doing substitutions in this back seven. How comfortable are you with the depth that they have?
I think it's a big problem on this football team, and something they have kind of experienced the last couple of years with the injuries they have endured on both sides of the football, but more in particular on the defensive side, because basically what you did was you cut off some of the higher end talent like the Robert Quinns on this defense, and you elevated some of the guys that were your depth up to starting positions, and now the depth is kind of rounded out by undrafted free agents or defunct AAF players, whoever it might be. They basically don't have a lot of proven depth beyond the starters, and even though the starters aren't quite proven all the way yet either, I think the big concern comes in the war of attrition that is the marathon season, because you're going to have a lot of guys that don't have a lot of experience probably playing plenty of reps this year on the Dolphins.
Now, I asked you this about the offense, so I'll ask about the defense. What's the one thing that you would like to see them address on defense before the end of training camp?
I'm just trying to figure out what Minkah Fitzpatrick's role is going to be, because he's a guy that played slot corner at Alabama and was basically the star of that Alabama defense and the best player that Nick Saban's ever coached, according to him, from a preparation and leadership standpoint. And I think that he's going to be a guy that really, really breaks out this year. He had a really good rookie season last year. He's going to be even better in year number two. Is that going to be as a quasi slot corner / free safety? Is he going to play outside corner? Because he did a little bit of everything last year. I want to see Minkah Fitzpatrick get a defined role and really excel in that role.
Now, I don't know how familiar you are with the Giants offensive personnel. Obviously, everybody knows Saquon Barkley. Everybody knows Eli Manning. I think everybody knows that the Giants traded away Odell Beckham Jr. But based on what you know, where do you see the biggest problems for the Dolphins defense against the Giants offense?
I would probably say it'd have to be a boundary receiver against whoever the number two cornerback is going to be, because Miami's defense just paid Xavien Howard the richest cornerback contract in the NFL, and he earned that by being locked down. He takes the ball away with interceptions. I mentioned Minkah Fitzpatrick in the slot. He is terrific in that role. The number two cornerback job is going to be a problem for the Dolphins this year, because the guy right now in that position is Eric Rowe, and he has missed something like 20 games over the last three seasons, and beyond that, it's a bunch of unproven. So if the Giants can line up with an X receiver type to go and attack that boundary corner that's not Xavien Howard, that could be a big problem for the Dolphins defense.
Realistically speaking, what can you tell Dolphin fans? And I know some do listen to the program. They tune into all the different Locked On programs, but what would be your message to, you know, Dolphin fans as far as what to expect this year, whether or not to keep their hopes, you know, realistic, or what would you tell them based on how this team is shaping up?
I would say just to kind of trust the process of the rebuilding season, because this is the first time really in the Stephen Ross era, the new owner for the past decade or so of this football team, that they've taken a step back and said, okay, well, instead of kind of plugging these holes with high-priced free agents who are paying way more than market value than they're worth, we're going to just step back and try to repair this thing with draft picks. They've put so much resources into next season already, 12 draft picks, $110 million in cap space. I would say just trust the process. Hope that the coaching can kind of take hold this year and see improvement throughout the course of the season, because if this team gets better as the year goes along with all the offseason capital they'll have next year, they're going to be a team on the rise.
Sounds great, Travis. Before we sign off, tell everybody where they can find your work.
Yep, Locked On Dolphins podcast and LockedOnDolphins.com. Write new articles up there just about every single day. And on Twitter is at Wingfield NFL.
Got anything special coming up before the start of training camp?
I'm working on a piece right now on I'll call him a secret superstar. He's not a superstar, but Vincent Taylor, a defensive tackle. He's played for 2 years for the Dolphins, a sixth-round draft pick, and he's really disruptive on the interior of the defensive line, but I don't think anyone really knows who he is. I'll be up on Locked On Dolphins probably on Wednesday afternoon.
Ah, interesting, because I'm looking at the depth chart that's on our lads, and they have him listed third at right defensive tackle.
Yeah, he's kind of been passed over the last couple of years, and last year he wasn't in the rotation despite the fact that his run stuff percentage was high and his pass rush productivity was high as well. So I'm hoping that maybe they'll kind of wise up this time around.
So that he's your lone secret superstar, or you have others?
I love Minkah Fitzpatrick, but I think that he's pretty well known. Everybody knows about Xavien Howard. I'll go ahead and put the rest of the defensive lineup there as well, because Christian Wilkins, the first-round draft pick, I think is going to have an instant impact as well. And also Devon Godshaw on there. He's a good player too. So that defensive line, I think, is going to be better than they're giving credit for.
Well, certainly let's hope that the Dolphins fans have something to cheer about, you know, because the Giant fans can certainly relate to, you know, going through a couple of years where the football's been kind of on the lean side, you know, not much to get excited about. And, you know, the Giants are a team on the up, on the rise. You know, we'll see which quarterback is playing by the time, you know, the two teams meet, but certainly going to be a fun time. Always fun to face the AFC East and, you know, see how things have changed. So anyway, I want to thank you for coming on. And Giant fans, I want to thank you for listening. Make sure you check out Travis's work. Make sure you visit Locked On Dolphins. Does a great job over there. And thank you, as always, for listening to the Locked On Giants podcast. We'll be back with another show this week. And as we continue our preview of the Giants 2019 opponent. So thank you for listening. For Travis Wingfield, this is Patricia Traina signing off.